we are in lesson three of how to start a fight, and ironically, it's actually lesson one. The first two things we've been talking about kind of lay the groundwork on what we're going to be talking about here. But what we're going to find in these lessons, and really what I want them to be, is really beneficial. Really beneficial. It's so amazing for those that come on Wednesdays. And Wednesdays is where we teach. Wednesdays is where we learn. It's that application kind of thing. And I never want to get up here and just say words. I want you to have something that is beneficial, that will make a difference. But we see again and again, we have people that are going through something and we don't know it, or are about to go into something, and God provides just the perfect lesson and the perfect direction for where they're going through. And that's why it's so important to be here. And I can't tell you on the other side, I mean, how many times where it'd be like, oh, I'm struggling with this. And it's like, well, you know what? We just got done with a whole series on that and you didn't show up once. And so God teaches, and I know I'm saying this to the wrong group, because you're here, and good for you. But you have the right then to tell anybody that's not here, you need to be here, all right? So look around, pick a name, and just say, you know, hey, you need to be here. God is speaking. There's a reason why, you know, we're here, and it's important. God is teaching. So tonight, this is going to be a small little idea, but it's going to pack a big wallop. Anybody ever try those sports gels? You know what I'm talking about? It's like if you're running or if you're doing an exercise, and it's like this little packet of stuff, and it's not very big. It's not very big, but when you take it, it's like jet fuel kind of thing. It packs a big punch, right? And you don't want to be eating these things because there's like 8 billion calories in it. But what it is like when you're running or you're biking, you kind of reach that end and there's nothing there. You reach back and grab one of these things and pop one of these things in your mouth and it's a boom! And it just kind of gives you what you need to move forward and push through that time. And so that's what this lesson is going to be about tonight. It's just tiny. It's a tiny little concept, but it's got a big boost to it, all right? Okay, so that's what I hope. So as we dig in, I want to do some quick review to make sure we're all on the same page here. We've been talking the last 2 weeks, and here's some of the ideas we've been talking about. You are both flesh and spirit. There's the part that you can see and feel and touch. You are flesh, and there's the part that you can't, spirit. They are both you. They are inseparable, okay? They're two different dimensions, but they are all you. What happens in one has ramifications in the other. What we do in the flesh has ramifications in the spirit. When I begin to pray in the flesh, I begin to talk to God, I put myself in a position, in a flesh position, where I'm saying words to God, it has ramifications in the spiritual world. We know that prayer makes a difference. We see it. Also, what is happening in the spiritual world, we see manifested in our flesh and in our everyday life. We go on. So we take this to the next level. There is a war over, it's supposed to be but over your soul, okay? So there's a war over you soul. You know what I'm talking about. I just was in such a hurry, I didn't type the R. But here's the thing. You are valuable. What you have is so valuable, and so there is a battle for you, that you are under attack, and there is an enemy that wants to try to steal who you are, wants to try to capture your soul. And here's the important part. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, is that the battle is a spiritual one. It's a spiritual one. It's a spiritual battle. But we know that both the flesh and the spirit are connected. So what happens spiritually, we see manifested physically. Okay, so we talked about that. Let's keep going. We are warring against a deceiver. The Satan will try to lie. He will try to convince us that nothing is wrong. He will try to convince us that everything is okay when it isn't. And so many don't realize that they're being attacked, that you are under attack, but we don't even realize it. Oftentimes we think that the devil only does bad things. That is not true. A lot of times, something bad happens. Satan possessed my car, you know, and now it's, you know. No, you just have an old car, right? But here's the thing, that he's trying to steal your soul. And so it goes back to this next phrase, we talked about this last week, it's this, that a spiritual fight can't be identified by its natural appearance, but by its spiritual objective. We can't say, oh, well, something bad happened, therefore it must be from Satan. We also can't say, well, something good happened, it must be from God. We need to realize what's at stake. And so we have to look, what is a better question to ask to help us identify the fight? Because we know that God gives us a way to fight. He says, when there's a battle, there's something that I want you to do. There's a process I want you to follow that can ensure victory. Our problem so often is we don't realize that there's a fight. So therefore, we don't act the right way. We don't do the right things, and we set ourselves up to fail. We've seen it. Maybe you've experienced it. And it's important that we understand how we discover when we are in a fight. And we can't just say, well, because it's bad or because it's good. We have to look at the spiritual objective. And the spiritual objective of the battle is your soul. It's your soul. So last week we said, here's the question. Here's the question that we got to wrestle with is this. Does this have the potential to capture my soul? When I look at an opportunity, I've got to ask the question, does this have the potential to capture my soul? Does this have the potential to draw me away from God, to change my how I believe what God's word says, to influence me, to pull me away from serving, to pull me away from service, to pull me away from church, to pull me away from prayer, to pull me away from giving? Does this have the opportunity or the potential? Not that it is yet, it's just the potential to do that and recognize whether it's a good thing or bad thing. If it has the potential to capture my soul, recognize it for what it is. It's a fight. And therefore, if it's a fight, there's a process that we've got to follow to ensure victory. Don't just say, well, I'm really struggling with something, therefore it must be a fight. Not necessarily true. Is your soul at risk? If so, yeah, it's a fight. Act accordingly. Oh, hey, I got an opportunity for a new job. Great, but what's at risk? Well, you know, I got to miss church every week. Well, hey, does it have the potential? And I say potential because a lot of times we would look at this and say, that's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem. Recognize that's a lie that Satan wants you to believe. He's trying to deceive you. It's a potential. Your soul is at risk. Recognize it for what it is. It's a fight, and therefore we must act accordingly. So the last 2 weeks, we've just kind of been laying the groundwork. And now we begin to dive in and say, what do we do now that we recognize what a fight is, now that we recognize that we are facing something, a battle, we are facing something that we have to deal with, what do we do? And so in this story, we're going to follow the life of a real unique character in Scripture, and you may know about them, you may not. He has a name that's really fun to say. His name is Jehoshaphat. Can we say that together? Jehoshaphat. That's not an insult. There's nothing to do with his size. Okay, that's just his name. And he was a king. He became a king at age 35, so he wasn't a kid. He knew what he was doing. He had an established perspective on life. Okay, and we see that he also had a passion for following God. And a couple verses here to lay the groundwork. Then Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, became the next king. So there's a succession. He's 35 years old. He steps up and becomes king. And the scripture tells us what his guiding principles were and how he acted. So look at this. We'll go through this. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and didn't worship the images of Baal. Meaning, hey, I'm worshiping the one true God. I'm not pulled away by worshiping other gods. God is God, and Jehoshaphat made that a priority. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel. There was a southern kingdom and a northern kingdom. One was not following God. He says, as for me and my kingdom, we are going to do what is right. Okay, next verse. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom of Judah. There was a blessing on this man. He did what was right. He wanted to do what was right. There was something in his heart that says, I am going to follow God. Good position to be in. And as a result, God blessed. We see that again, even in our own lives. When we decide to do what is right, there is a blessing that follows. That doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It means that there is a blessing and a protection from God, even though there are storms. And this is what we read in the life of Jehoshaphat. All kinds of things transpire, but at one point in his life, he is faced with a fight. And he is running the kingdom. Everything is going good. And all of a sudden, he gets word that three of his enemies, very large, very powerful enemies, are uniting together to come and attack. And this is the way the story plays out. After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Amorites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Here we go. We got three large armies. These are mean. These are evil. These armies do not hold the value of life very high. You look at their practices. You look at their history. These are horrible, horrible enemies. Okay? This is scary. So all of these are uniting to come against Jehoshaphat. And messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are coming together. They are moving our way. It does not look good. It goes on. Verse 3. Oh, back up. Oh, no, wait. No, you're right. Back up. Okay, here we go. So before there's even a fight, Jehoshaphat gets the word, and he realizes that something is going on. And this is so true in our life, because God often allows us to see the problem before the fight. We begin to see the tension. We begin to sense something's not right. We see an opportunity. There's a door that closes. There's conversations that happen. Something's going on that we see it brewing. And it's an opportunity for us to use the wisdom that we're learning. And we're saying, does this have the opportunity to capture my soul? Here, I've got an opportunity, and I'm not having to battle it yet. I haven't made a decision yet. But should I be acting in a way that's different than just going through the motions? Does this have the possibility of capturing my soul? And God allows us so many times to see the battle before we actually have to fight. Now, we can be blind and stupid and just kind of go through the motions, but we see scripture after scripture, and we talked about this last week, where the scripture tells us, wake up, watch out, beware, realize that there is an enemy trying to attack you, that there is an enemy against you. Be aware of it. Don't be caught napping. And so we, in good godly wisdom, are always evaluating all of the things that come our way using godly principles and asking ourselves, does this have the opportunity or the potential to capture my soul? Here's a promotion at work. But you know what? I'm going to be asked to do some things that are going to put me in a very compromising situation. I haven't taken the job yet, but I'm aware that there's a potential fight. Going through a situation with your family and you realize that tensions are building and it's going to be a blowout and something could go horribly wrong. Hasn't happened yet, but I'm evaluating, and do I recognize it as a potential battle, and should I begin to do what God leads us to do? God gives us the ability oftentimes to see the problem before we have to deal with it. And this is what's happening in Jehoshaphat. I'm seeing something that could destroy me. I'm seeing something that's coming against me. And we read in verse 3. We're not even going to get through all of verse 3. We're only going to look at the first three words. Jehoshaphat was terrified. Jehoshaphat was terrified. Now, I love when scripture gives real responses for real people. You know, what we don't find is that Jehoshaphat stood up and kind of did that, you shall not pass, thing, big speech. You know, if you were making it up, that's what you'd want to write. Okay? Nor do we see that, Jehoshaphat said, let me know when they get closer, no big deal. Okay? He has a very real response. He's terrified. He's overwhelmed at what this means. He's overwhelmed with the potential because he recognizes what this fight represents. He recognizes what's in the balance. This is life and death. This is my future. This is the future of my family and my children and those that I care about. That I recognize what is at stake. And it is so, so important. And as a result, there is a terror that grips him because I realize this is more than just bad news. This is big. This is big. And in this one little three-word statement, we get to the, what the first step is when any time that we face a fight. And it's this. We need to recognize what's at stake. Now, there is something in all of us that we are tempted to respond in a way that uses the perception of our flesh rather than what is going on in the spirit, that we're tempted to act on what our flesh sees, okay? So we could say it this way, that there is a fight against us, and we could say, well, you know what? It's just a little weakness that I have. You know, I'm working through it, okay? It's an opportunity. You know, it's only for a little while. It's really not that big of a deal because, again, something going on spiritually, we see it echoed in the physical, and when we look at the physical, oftentimes it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a problem. It's only for a short period of time. You know, I know it's not what I would you know, or want or should do, but you know what? It's only for a limited time, and then it opens up all kinds of doors of opportunity for me. When we look at it from the physical, it can really seem like no big deal. But here's the thing. The first step, when we recognize that it's a fight, we need to recognize what's at stake. And here's the thing. Your soul is at stake. And when it comes to your soul, there is nothing bigger. There is nothing more important. If it pulls me out of church, if it has the potential to change how I view God's truth, if it puts what I want ahead of what God wants, if it makes me compromise what I know to be true, if it lowers my morals or puts me in a place of compromising or allowing things in my life that I know I shouldn't allow, if there is a fight for my soul, we need to realize that there is no bigger deal, that we have to first realize what's at stake. Now, I know this is small, and there is something in us that's like, you know what, hang on, don't push so hard. But when we have that feeling of that there's a potential fight in our life and we're kind of okay or just don't want to make a deal about it, I want you to realize that you're being deceived. You're being deceived. I want to give you an illustration, and it's a little longer illustration, but I want to make a point in the natural. Imagine with me that you wake up tomorrow and you get on the scales and you realize that you've lost a pound. And you really didn't do anything, and you're like, whoo, finally, you know. And over the next couple of weeks, you notice you start getting healthier, you start, you know, you're just losing weight. It's awesome. It's awesome. And, man, you're feeling better, feeling good. People are calling you looking good. You're like, I am, aren't I? Yeah, you know. And, man, it's exciting, and the pounds are just coming off. And you go to, you got a doctor's appointment, so you go to the doctor, and you're getting ready to brag to the doctor, and you said, hey, don't I look good? And they're like, man, what's going on? He's like, I'm not doing anything, you know, finally, you know, my body is finally obeying what I want it to do, and it's working for me. And the doctor says, great, you know, we're just here, we're going to run some tests, and yada, yada, yada. You go home, and there's a phone call from your doctor, and it's weird because usually doctors take a while to call, and it's your doctor, and he says, hey, I've got some news. We need to talk, and I need you to call me right now. And here's my cell number. This is important. Call me. And so you get the number for your doctor, and you call up, and he says, hey, we ran some tests, and I want you to know this, that your weight loss wasn't because you're just so super healthy. You have something that is going to kill you. You have something that is destroying you, and that what you are losing is a result of this in your life. He says, but here's the good news. If we start aggressive treatment right now, there is hope, and there's almost guaranteed that you're going to survive this. If you don't, it's going to kill you. You're going to die. I promise you that. You're going to die, and you're going to die quick. But if you we will work together. There is hope. We can do this, but we've got to start right away. He says, what I've done is I've moved all my appointments out first thing in the morning. I want you to meet me in my office at 8:00 tomorrow. We're going to tackle this. We're going to start right away. Okay? That's the setting. Can you imagine the response if you said, well, hang on. Does this mean I'm going to stop losing weight then if I get better? Because I'm really liking this. And honestly, I'm feeling pretty good about myself and people are noticing it. And, you know, I know you're trying to help me, doc, but I kind of like what's happening here. I kind of like this. I went to Dairy Queen 5 times last week and I still lost weight. I'm liking this. This is good. I really don't have a problem with this. And so, you know what? Thank you, but no thank you. Can you imagine that response?
Or how about this one? Same scenario, same thing. And you talk to the doctor. You say, look, I've cleared everything out tomorrow morning. I need you to be in my office. Like, oh, wow, this is kind of a busy time for me. Things are really hectic right now. And, you know, there's stuff to do and there's people to see. Can we do this like in a month or so? Maybe like at the beginning of next year, you know, when all the health insurance, you know, resets and everything. You know, I really thank you, but, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm not hurting. And let's just, this would be a real crimp, you know, to my style and my, you know, schedule. And just, this is busy. I'm sure you understand. Can I call you in a couple months? Can you imagine that response? Can you imagine if you had a friend that responded that way and you heard that that was their response? What would you say to them? Are you stupid? You're going to die. You're going to die. Why would you choose not to make this a huge deal? This is not, oh, I don't feel real good, or yeah, I got a cold. You're going to die. You need to get a fire underneath you and do something. Right? Right. I mean, if it was you, I mean, would you wait? No, you'd be there, you know, at 7 o'clock saying, hey, doc, can we meet an hour early? Because I recognize what is at stake. It's a big thing. Now, here's this principle, and there's a statement I want to bring up because this is so true. Because this is exactly what happens in our spiritual life. An apathetic response leads to a reluctance in obedience. If what the doctor tells you, you're going, you're not that big of a deal. When he says, hey, I need you to be there at 8, and I need you to do this and take this and don't do this, there is going to be something that is like, really? Do I really have to? Do I really need to? The same thing happens in our spiritual life and in our relationship with God. That is, we face a fight that can destroy us. It is life and death, and not just temporary. It's eternal. There is nothing bigger. There is nothing more important. But yet we hear that this has the potential to kill us. This has the potential to steal our soul. And yet there is an indifference. I kind of like the way life is going right now. I'm kind of busy. I don't really change where I'm at. That we downplay it, and therefore we have an apathetic response to the potential for sin or the potential for us to fall away from God. And when I have an apathetic response, it leads to reluctance in obedience. And this is why this first step is so important. When I truly stop and realize what is at stake and truly understand it, when I begin to get terrified about the response or the potential of what this could mean in my life, there is something that says, I'll do whatever you tell me to. When I realize the importance, there is an urgency to act. Okay? Now, our problem so many times is that we don't have the urgency. We don't recognize the problem for what it is. I'm just going to miss for a little while. I'm just going to not show up for a little while. You know, I'm just going to pull out for a little while. You know, I used to think that was important. It's not that big of a deal anymore. Recognize it for what it is. Soul is at stake, and nothing is any more important. Now, I'm going to give you a statement that is really uncomfortable to say. I'm just going to tell you this right in front. It is really uncomfortable to say, but it is totally true. It's going to seem over the top. It's going to seem way over the top, but yet it isn't. And it's going to be a struggle to say, but if you will be willing to say it, don't show it yet. If you'd be willing to say it, it will bring clarity, such clarity, to areas in your life. But I'm telling you, it's going to be really difficult. But I'm going to push back, all right? Because this is important. That when we are facing a fight, when there is something that you say, yes, this has the potential to steal my soul, okay? The first step is we need to realize what is at stake, so that we do not have an apathetic response and therefore not be willing to do what God tells us to do. So I'm going to give you this statement, and this is hard, this is difficult. But here's the thing, when there's a fight, when we're facing something, would you be willing to say this? Throw this up here. This is tough. This is really, really tough. This has the potential to send me and my family to hell for eternity. Because that is truly what is at stake. Well, you know, no. You just see, I'm just taking this job and it's going to, you know, I'm going to miss church for a couple of months, but it's only temporary. No. Understand what it is. This has the potential to send me, if you're in that position, and my family to hell for eternity. Recognize what it is. Oh, you know, see, no. This is just a squabble between, you know, family members. Oh, wait a second. You don't understand. This is a fight. It can capture your soul. Recognize that this has the potential to send me and my family to hell for eternity. The first step when we go into a fight is that we need to understand what is at stake. And Jehoshaphat saw this and it says he was terrified. And what we find is this, is that when we have the proper first step, when I realize, hey, this is important, this is big, this is huge. There is nothing bigger. There is nothing more. I realize what this truly is. Then when we see what God asks us to do, there's not a hesitancy. There's not a drawback. It's, okay, what do you want me to do? I wish, because here's the thing. We live in America and life is good. We have good days and bad days. But when is the last time that we were terrified of what sin could do to us? See, we don't think that way. When was the last time that you realized that I'm up against this or I'm facing this or what this act could do or what this behavior could do, what this type of thinking could do, what this type of relationship could do? We've become so numbed. We've become so accustomed to just make me happy, make me feel good. Then when was the last time that we were truly terrorized by what sin could do in our life? Not terrorized of sin, because that's a bad thing, because Christ allows us to be victorious, but terrorized of what sin has the potential to do, that we truly got it in the glimpse of eternity, that we recognize what this really represented, that I'm making a decision that has the potential to send me and my family to hell for eternity. Okay, that's important. Okay, that's not something that I can just push off. That's not just something that I can ignore and downplay. So God, you got my attention. You understand where I'm at. Now, what do I need to do? Lead me through to victory. What do I need to do? I can't just be normal. I can't just face this and act like this is nothing going on. God, you've got my attention. I'm terrorized of what this potential could be in my life. I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to miss what you have for me. God, I don't want to lose out. All of eternity is at stake here. And so, God, you have my attention. I'm terrified. Now, God, what do I need to do? We missed this step. And as a result of missing this step, we set our course and set ourselves up to miss out. How many times have you seen people fall away from God when the very thing that led them away from God, they went into saying, you know, it's not going to be a problem. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, he may look that way, but that's not really how he is. You know, she's not really like that. You know, I'm not going to become addicted. I mean, it's not that big of a deal anymore. How many times have we seen it? And we've seen them step after step after step as they set their course, where they said, I don't realize what's at stake here. I'm acting like it's nothing, when it's actually the most important thing, that there's no terror about the potential and therefore an apathy in my response. And then when there's a call, hey, God's asking you to do this. Hey, God's way is this way and you're going the other way. Hey, God says, this is the path I want you to go and you're going someplace different. There's like, oh, you know, I don't really want to do that. Because apathy in my response leads a reluctance in my obedience. And you've seen it played out. And there are people today who once knew God, who once had a strong relationship with God, who don't, and whose life is headed for an eternity without God. When we face something, there needs to be something in us that gets terrorized. Because it's that kind of fear that makes a difference. Jesus said, and we talked about this before, we did a whole series on this, some of the tough things that Jesus said. He says, look, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, you know, pluck it out. And he wasn't talking about acts of redemption. He was trying to give a picture of just how bad sin is. He's saying it's that bad. That if that's what it takes, then you know what? There is no limit too far to escape hell. He wasn't saying to go chop your hand off or pluck your eye out. That's not what he was saying. He says, understand this. There is no limit too far to escape hell. It's that bad. And we've become a nation, we become a church, we become a people that we're comfortable with compromise. We're comfortable because we think we're stronger. We were comfortable because we've lost that dedication, because we've failed to realize. And here's the thing, because we've listened to the enemy more than we're listening to our Savior. We've been deceived and we've bought into it. And we'll use Satan's lines on God. God, it's not that big of a deal. God, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I know it's not perfect, but you know, this is, you know, we'll be fine. When the first step, when we recognize, hey, this has the potential, there's something that needs to grip our heart with fear and say, okay, I recognize the importance of this. This sets the context for everything else that we talk about. Get it right, and you've got the forward momentum to say, okay, next step is this, next step is this, next step is this, and you can find victory in any and every battle by doing it God's way. God's word is true. Miss this, and every single step is going to be harder and harder to accomplish, and you're setting yourself up for failure. Recognize when there's a fight. And the first thing we need to really do is be brave enough. Because as tough as this is to say, this doesn't even begin to capture it. But could we, out of a desperation to say, hey, I want to do what's right, recognize what we're facing, recognize the challenge, recognize the struggle for what it is. There is a fight for my soul. There is a fight for my soul, and it's a spiritual fight, but I'm seeing it here in my flesh, and I'm recognizing for what it is. This has the potential to send me and my family to hell for eternity. But here's the thing. If we're willing to come to terms with that, then what that does is allow us to stand up and finish it. But by the grace of God, that's not going to happen. But by the will of God, that's not going to happen. And we're going to learn over the next couple of weeks what step two is and what step three is and what step four is. And you're going to see it's so beautifully aligned with all of the other scriptures. It just comes together. God wants you to be victorious. God wants you to be overcoming. God doesn't want you to be defeated. Don't miss the first step. Recognize it for what it is. Can we stand? I said what I said at the beginning of this service, and I meant it. There are people that need to be here that aren't here, that they're up against us, and they think everything is fine, and this is what they're facing. And I can only teach so much, and I wish I could come and pull people out of whatever they're doing tonight, because I don't care how important it is. There's going to become a day where they're going to look back and say, that wasn't important. I wish we could have people here on Sundays, and it would be a, you know, I'm here no matter what. I'm here. I'm plugging in. I want this because I need this. Because you know what? There is nothing more important. And we try to make, you know, light of it in a sense. You know, we don't want to be too harsh. But honestly, we can't be too harsh. There's a battle for your soul. There is a side that wants you captured and wants you in hell for eternity so much more than what we even realize. Oh, God, would we wake up and see it for what it is, see the fight for what it is, and rekindle our passion again to say, this isn't going to happen. It ain't going to happen here. I recognize it for what it is. And so, God, whatever you want me to do, God, I don't want this to happen. God, I want to be in eternity. God, with you, I want your blessing. I want your way. And there would be a passion in us again to step up and do what's right. Do the difficult thing. Do the hard thing. But in light of what's really going on, it's not difficult. It's not hard. If there's a God that says, I'll fight the battle for you, just follow what my lead is. God help us. God help us.